We heard this morning, and this is totally coincidence. I did not discuss my message with Pastor Bricks, but he spoke on Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life. And my message is in the same direction. So that is a total, and I believe maybe God willed that way, that we are to focus on truth in the days that we live in. We live in a lot of, in the middle of a lot of deception. People believe a lot of lies, a lot of half-truths. We hear about fake news. We hear about people faking things and pretending to be or to represent something that they're not really representing. And it's difficult for a lot of people, and sometimes impossible, to discern the truth from the lies, to discern fact from fiction. People are confused. In fact, a young person in college was so confused that he wore a t-shirt that says confused with a K, confused. And they said, that's not spelt right. He said, you don't know how confused I am nowadays. Statistics show that in 1963, which is a long time ago, 65% of North American people believed the Bible was true. Today, the number is less than 32%, which is less than half of the people that believed then that the Bible is true believe it today. There was a time when most Americans, and I assume Canadians too, accepted absolute standards, that there are things that we can say they're absolutely true. And 70% today, over 70%, I believe already, believe or reject moral absolutes altogether. They don't believe that there's a moral law that's absolutely true, solid, that cannot be changed. And I call it a reference point. God has given us a reference point, and that is His Word. God has given us the truth in Jesus Christ, which is the gospel that is contained in the Bible. It's not just contained, it is the inspired Word of God. But this truth is now rejected by the majority. We, as believers, as Christians, we're actually the minority in the world. Only 53% believe that there are moral truths that are absolute. 43% say there is no such thing as the Holy Spirit. 43%, almost half of people. 33% believe that Jesus never had a physical resurrection. Totally deny it. And even 19% believe, and these are people that are familiar with the gospel, 19% believe that Jesus actually sinned while on earth. So then it's really hopeless, right? But in our text, Jesus stands as an accused criminal before Pilate. The King of Kings stands in front of a mortal sinner. This Pilate, mortal sinner, has no relationship nor understanding of who the true God is. Just imagine this picture right now. Jesus stands before Pilate. Pilate is the big ruler, the dictator. Jesus is in his hands. With one word, he can have him struck down. But Jesus is Pilate's creator. Pilate breathes and lives because of Jesus and doesn't know it. The King of Kings stands before this mortal sinner who thinks he is something big. And the King of Kings says, I came onto this earth to testify to the truth, and whoever embraces the truth will experience me and will follow me. And Pilate says, out of frustration, what is truth? Now, he admitted with that he didn't know what truth is. Because if he would have known it, he would have worshiped Jesus right there. Wouldn't you think? He would have fallen on his face and say, Lord, you are King of Kings. You are Lord. You are Master. And I embrace you. I acknowledge now that your name is above all other names. Now, he will say that one day. The Bible says that all knees will bow and all tongues will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Doesn't matter who it is. Doesn't matter what they were in this life or what thought they were in this life. There's four ways that truth is treated by people. First of all, truth is thought as unknowable. You cannot know what is really true nowadays. There has to be this mystery. You have to be unsure about everything. Do you like that life? You like going through life being unsure of everything? They say, well, truth is relative. You know, if I prefer something, then that what I prefer, that is truth to me. So preference supersedes precedence. They say, how can we know the truth? Or Pilate says here, what is truth? And then you hear someone say, well, it works for me to live a certain way. It works for me. That's fine. Absolute truth by the majority has been thrown out the window. Relativism, and this is a word that you can look up. Mr. Google will help you on that. Relativism is made the mode of the day nowadays. It matters a great deal when it comes to spiritual things. When it comes to our spiritual destiny, it matters a great thing whether we embrace the truth or not. The truth is always there. You know that you and I, we don't even have to defend truth. We don't have to defend God. We don't have to defend truth. Truth is there. But we are challenged. We either believe the truth, we walk in truth, we embrace truth, we want to live truthful, honest, sincere lives, or we don't. And then the second thing that the way truth is treated is it's distorted. And you see this all the time when maybe you watch something and on YouTube or on TV, and it's there's a lot of half-truths there. Yes, maybe, maybe not, maybe this way, or maybe it could be that way. Or political ads when politicians try to bash their opponents. And they have to do it, otherwise they don't expect to win. The more you can besmirch and make the opponent look bad, the better it is, and you may have a chance to win. Imagine this. If I would run, and I will never do that because I would be a very bad politician. But if I would run for office, and I would try to achieve a certain goal, and now I would buy ads and really, really bash my opponent. and really lie about him and throw all kinds of dirt at him or her and do all of that. And then I win, and oh, we have a victory, we have a victory. How would I feel later on? I would feel horrible. I'd have to go and repent. I'd have to go and, I don't know. I couldn't do it. Because of all these half-truths, you twist character assassinations and all that. We live in a world like that. And if that carries over into the church, we are in trouble, loved ones. So truth is often distorted, and then truth is also traded for lies. False religions that come up. Not all roads lead to God. Not all religions are the same. And if people in colleges, universities, professors, whoever it is, they want to tell you that all religions are the same and all religions lead to the same God. It's not true. The God of Islam, the God of the Muslims is not the same as the Christianity. He's not the Father and Lord Jesus Christ. The God of Islam is a different God. Allah is not the same as our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. He's not the same. And no matter how you want to twist it and how you want to, he's not the same. It's just not the same. And then we are accused that we believe the words of Jesus where he says, no one can come to the Father but by me. That makes it so exclusive. That makes it so narrow-minded, we are told. And yet that is the truth. And I'm here to defend that, if you will. He just said that the truth doesn't need to be defended, but I'm here to proclaim it. And to suggest to you today that Jesus is the only way to the Father. He is the only way to heaven, the only way to glory. No other religion. Don't try other religions. Don't even go into studying other religions unless you go into a field where you want to show the difference and help others understand what true Christianity is. Many have stepped out and studied all kinds of other religions and ended up believing very strange teachings and strange doctrines. And the Bible speaks of doctrines of the devil. Doctrines of the devil that are not scriptural. The Bible speaks against those that teach not to get married. Remember that? And you can figure out who is teaching that. I won't say anything. You can figure it out. Who is teaching that? And the Bible says we are not to believe those bad spirits, because there's always, behind every false religion, there's a false and deceiving spirit. Because every religion that does not bring you closer to Jesus Christ and him crucified and him resurrected from the dead, if it doesn't bring you closer, there's a chance that there's a deceiving spirit that wants to take your attention away from Christ. The fourth way that truth is treated is ignored. And that's a really bad treatment of truth. You and I, we can grow up in a church, and we're used to going to church basically brought in with a stroller. And then we grow up and we listen to the Word of God from a very early age, and we hear it, and we hear it, and we hear it. Don't ignore it. That's the worst thing you can do to yourself if you've heard the gospel preached, if you've heard the truth of the Word of God and about Jesus Christ. The worst thing you can do is ignore it. Many hear the truth, but they choose to walk away from it because sometimes truth is uncomfortable. Sometimes truth hurts. And you're not supposed to hurt anybody And you know, it's always this image I have when I think of, and I pray oftentimes. In fact, I pray this every week. It's part of my sermon preparation. I pray, Lord, let me not hurt anyone unnecessarily. It's not where it's not needed. I don't want to offend anyone unnecessarily. But it's kind of like this for us pastors and for the missionaries and the evangelists. It's like standing at a river and you know that there's a steep waterfall close by. And you're standing there and overlooking the river, and here comes a boat, a river rafting boat, and there's young people in it, and they party, and they just have a great time. And they are going closer and closer to the fall, and you would just stand there and say, oh, yeah, well, hi there, have a good time, have a good whatever. And you wouldn't warn them. What would you do? We would scream and holler and yell and say, wait a minute, wait a minute. There's a big fall coming. You're doomed. And really, that's what's happening spiritually. And yet, people don't want to be reminded you need Jesus Christ. People don't want to be reminded you need a come to Jesus moment. You need to just break down and have this contrite attitude and confess your sins to the Lord. They don't want to hear it. Why? Because it's uncomfortable. People generally love the darkness more than the truth, more than the light. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 32, found an interesting verse. It's actually part of the message of God through Moses to Israel. And it says, therefore, you shall be careful to do as the Lord your God has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left hand. Stay on the path with Jesus Christ. This would be quoting this verse in the gospel. Stay close to Jesus Christ. Don't allow the enemy to deceive you from the truth. Do not ignore the truth. Do not ignore Jesus is speaking to you. Do not ignore the Holy Spirit when he's speaking. Do not ignore the Word of God when it's speaking to you. Do not dismiss it for any reason. And don't go to the left. Don't go to the right. I found another interesting verse in Jonah, chapter 4, verse 11, where God was so merciful and Jonah was really unhappy that his prophecy that Nineveh would be destroyed did not come to pass. He wanted to see these heathens destroyed by God. But they repented. And that was the whole purpose of the message. Repent because in 40 days, God will destroy the city. And so they repented. They listened to the message, which was wonderful. But Jonah was unhappy because his prophecy was now not going to be fulfilled. And he didn't like those people very much. So God spoke to him and he said, should I not pity Nineveh, the great city, in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left? In other words, they were so spiritually confused, they had totally lost their way, they couldn't know what was right and what was right, what was not right, or what was left. God says they can't even tell their right hand from their left hand. That's how confused they were. But now they repented. Now they came back, and God was merciful. God gave them the word of truth. And this is such a great need for us today. We need to embrace the truth. Because people are oftentimes cynical. You can look that word up too if you want to, cynical. Because nowadays we are being trained, young people are being trained to doubt everything. I remember years ago, young people came to class the first day, and this was in a seminary. Seminary means a Bible college. And the first day, the professor got up and told the young students, everything you have learned in Sunday school and in church up to this point needs to go out the window. We will now teach you different things. When I heard that, I thought, I hope they fire that professor, because that is so wrong. What we learn in Sunday school, what we learn in the Bible, is foundational to our faith. And do not, young people, do not allow a professor or anyone to rob you of that. Because Satan goes around like a roaring lion or an angel of light, and he will try to make you doubt everything. One of the things that is doubted today is, did God really create everything? Is God the real creator? Or shouldn't we believe, even as Christians, shouldn't we dabble in all this evolution thing? Why not? Let's do that. No, we need to stick with the truth, because in the end, a lot of the other things don't matter at all. What matters is this. And God will judge all people by his word. Now, do we have some discussions and some differences of opinion here and there? There will always be. But the basic truth of the word of God, let's not be cynical about it. People are immoral too, and they want a morality that suits them. Because there's a saying that says, a man's morality dictates his theology. And if, it can be women too, but if your morality dictates your theology, how will your theology look like? Well, in my morality, you know, I can live with a significant other without being married, or I can make out of marriage anything I want to make. I can be married to the same sex or whatever, and some believe in polygamy and all of those things. See, when that happens, Satan is there to distort the truth. The truth is, God has invented marriage, and marriage is one man and one woman, and that is God's original plan that will never change. And there's nothing we can do about it if the world believes otherwise, but we do well if we hold on to these truths and say, no, I want to stay on God's side. I want to believe and live out the truth. Absence of truth always brings lawlessness, confusion, and disorder. When regard for truth has been broken down or even slightly weakened, all things start to become doubtful. You start to doubt everything. If we doubt the creation story in the beginning of the Bible, that will then give us the permission to doubt anything else that we don't like in the Bible. You know, for example, was Jesus really born of a virgin? Was it a virgin birth? We can doubt that very easily, the same as creation. We can doubt that Jesus was physically resurrected from the dead. And Satan will do everything he can to play with your thoughts and your minds if you allow him to do it. So my suggestion is, don't give Satan the time of the day. Don't just say, I have no time for you, Satan. I want to believe God's word. I want to be rooted and grounded. I want to stay in the truth of God's word. Because truth exists. Jesus says in John chapter 17, verse 17, sanctify them. Who were them? The disciples, the followers of Jesus. Sanctify them by your truth. And then he adds, your word is truth. Now we know as Bible readers, if you read the Gospel of John, that Jesus is the Word and he is the truth. And here he says in John 17, sanctify them by your truth. Sanctify is a cleansing, is something where God then completely, through Jesus Christ, is Lord of our lives and fills us with the Holy Spirit. It's that more abundant life that Jesus promised. I have come to that they may have life and have it more abundantly. Your word is truth. So if you're confused and you get beaten up by this lie and by this deception and people have lied to you and you're not sure, start reading God's word. Start praying and asking God to reveal to you the truth in his word, and he will do it. He is eager to reveal himself to you. And that's the second part. God's spirit is a spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit will never lie to you. He will never speak falsehood to any of us. The Holy Spirit will not just make us feel guilty. Guilt is something that our conscience works with, and sometimes it can be so distorted. It can be very discouraging when you're just filled with guilt. But the Holy Spirit brings conviction, and conviction is something different. It's something more than just guilt. Conviction is that you know deep in your heart that this is what I need to do. This is what I need to change. This is what the Holy Spirit, what God wants me to do. And then he gives you that joy about discovering this conviction. And then you eagerly want to do what the Holy Spirit wants. So you see the difference between just guilt and conviction? And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. And this is what Jesus promised to you and me. In John chapter 16, verse 13, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into some truth. It says here, all truth. The Holy Spirit wants to guide you and me into all truth. He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. We need that in our time. You and I need the Holy Spirit to speak to us. Invite him in prayer to speak to you, to impress upon your heart, upon your mind, the will of God. And he will always be in harmony with the scriptures. He will never reveal anything to you that's against the Bible. Never. If a so-called spirit would reveal to you something that is unscriptural, that's not the Holy Spirit. That comes from other sources. The Holy Spirit will always give us convictions that are in line with the Word of God. And then ultimately, of course, the truth that we have is God's Son, Jesus Christ himself. Have you ever thought of, you knew already enough of Jesus? Maybe as a young person you feel, well, I have enough of this Jesus stuff. I know already all about it. No, you don't know Jesus yet. You and I, we know very little about Jesus. We have just experienced a little bit, maybe just drops of him. He has so much more. He is so vast, so majestic, so powerful, so great, that John, the revelator in the book of Revelation, when he saw Jesus, when he saw him in his majesty, in his glory, in his power, he fell to his on his face as a dead man. That's how majestic he is. there's so much more to know about Jesus. And that he will minister to your heart and to your soul. Allow him, open yourself to him, that he will just take over your life and be the Lord of your life. And you will not regret it. That is living in truth. Whoever has Jesus the Son has everlasting life and has the truth. Because he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The world objects to the truth. The world, sinful people and deceivers, they object to the truth of Jesus Christ. And there's others that will come to you. No, Jesus is okay if you have Jesus, but you need this too. You need this too. You need this too. No, Jesus plus doesn't work. It's Jesus only and only him, like we sang yesterday so beautifully. And that is my desire. Makes it actually very simple, doesn't it? If you have Jesus in your heart, if you walk with Jesus and you have the Holy Spirit, you walk in truth. And he reveals truth to you through God's word. The truth will always set people free. It will set us free from confusion. It will set us free from uncertainties. It will set us free from hopelessness. It will encourage us. Truth doesn't always hurt. Truth also heals. Truth strengthens. Truth encourages. Knowing that I have nothing to hide before God, sincerely transparent before the Lord and before others, I live my life the best I can. No, we're not perfect. We do make mistakes and things come, but when as they come, we talk about everything to Jesus, right? And he helps us. He walks with us and he will be with us. I'd like to encourage, especially at this time, all those that have recently lost loved ones. Sister Schumacher and now also Sister Berndt and the families. That we encourage one another and comfort one another with these words. That when we have the Holy Spirit, when we have that comfort, this anchor of faith in God's word and in Jesus Christ, that we have that hope to see our loved ones again in eternity. And we ought to encourage one another and comfort one another, because now that we have new widows in our church, we as a church have an obligation to minister to the widows. Because they need someone, as the little boy said, someone with skin on to encourage them and say, we are praying for you. And when one member of the church suffers, we all suffer. We all grieve for the loss of loved ones. It affects all of us. But we have Jesus and the Holy Spirit to comfort us. He is the truth, the life, and he is the way to the Father. And no one can stop us from it. No one can snatch us from this faith. No one can separate us from the love of God. Let's stay with it and serve him joyfully. Amen.